after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Friday, October 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. In such a busy marathon time, given that the athletics calendar is catching up after the pandemic and lockdown, the London Marathon on Sunday has been able to assemble two strong elite folds and thousands of other runners. Unlike a year ago, the race returns to its traditional course past historic London landmarks. In a packed autumn schedule, many elite runners will be competing barely 2 months after the Olympic marathons, as the energetic Andy Edwards explains. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Prince. It'll be 8 weeks since Bridget Koskay lined up in Sapporo in Japan and finished second in the Olympic marathon behind her fellow Kenyan Perez Chepchechir. Now, will the world record holder have tired legs, along with a number of rivals in the London race who also competed for Olympic honours? Well, perhaps not, given the comments of Kenenisa Bekele at the Berlin Marathon, when he said the new shoes, now used by so many of the elite, are much kinder to the legs after hard efforts. Koskay, her compatriot Jocelyn Jepkoskay, and a number of the elite men are perhaps leading a new line of thought in marathon preparation, that you don't need to rest for a month or so before beginning preparation for another marathon. The women's field is mightily impressive. Five runners have best times under 2:19, and nine altogether have gone under 2 hours 20. Top of the charts is Bridget Koskay, her world record of 2 hours 14 and 4 seconds, putting her almost 4 minutes on paper ahead of Lorna Salpeter, the Kenyan-born Israeli. But, as the Olympics showed, victory doesn't always go to those with fastest times beforehand. Bridget Koskay is glad, however, that the race returns to its traditional course through the streets of London, rather than many circuits of one of the city's smaller parks. It will be a morale boost for her, as she aims for a third title in London.
I don't like the loops like last year. Last year I went round and round until I've seen as my head is turning, no end. I'm happy this time because no loop, we're going straight. I'm really, really appreciated that.
Her strongest challenger might well be fellow Kenyan Jocelyn Chepkoskay. The reigning New York City champion from her win there on her marathon debut 2 years ago, she decided to make her London debut this year. Her preparation looks very solid, topped off by winning the Berlin Half Marathon in a course record of 65 minutes 16 6 weeks ago. Her marathon best is 2:18:40, but she's ready to go well under 2:20 for victory.
Half marathon was a test for me, for this marathon. So for sub-20, I'm ready for the best, So I'm going to try my best to do it.
The Ethiopian Shurike Tata arrives in London as defending men's champion. He said in a pre-race press conference that he has recovered from the leg injury which forced him to drop out of the Olympic marathon. His compatriot, Berhanu Legesse, is certainly sounding confident, welcoming the return of group training and spectators in one of the world's great marathons. The Kenyan Evans Chebet has a best of exactly 2 hours and 3 minutes. That kind of performance should put him in the lead group, but with plenty of Ethiopian rivals. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The women's world marathon record holder and two-time London Marathon winner Bridget Koskay told journalists she's confident of winning a third consecutive women's title, barely 2 months after taking silver at the Tokyo Olympics. Koskay says she won't necessarily be seeking to break her countrywoman Mary Keitany's 2017 record on a women's only course of 2 hours 17 minutes and 1 second.
I was happy and I will be happy. And nothing I can say because I like London. I love this place, even the cheerers. I I like them because they cheer in each and everyone on the way. So me, I like London, and hope I will, my powers do anyway, maximum. After Olympic, I went maybe 2 days break, and then I continue doing a practice, and my training is well going on, and I prepare well, and I am ready on Sunday. My body was still very tired, but I went there and do a lot of correction until I become okay. That's why I given London to come and try my best. I was being inspired by Eliud Kipchoge, and he's a good man. He usually talk with the young athletes and encourage mostly, especially juniors. He encourage us to be disciplined, to be honest, and to be focused.
The lead to women's field for the London Marathon race includes the reigning champions of 4 of the 6 world marathon events and the record 9 women who have run below 2 hours and 20 minutes. They include the Kenyan duo of Jocelyn Chepkosgei and the 2019 New York City Marathon champion Valerie Jemeli. I'm Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports news is Samson O'Malley. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings, Prince. We begin our comprehensive preview of weekend African sports highlights in London, where the 41st edition of the London Marathon is set to hold on Sunday, October the 3rd. The women's marathon world record holder and Olympic silver medalist, Bridget Kosgei, believes she can still defend her London Marathon title on Sunday, despite the race coming soon after the strain of the Olympic Games. This weekend's race takes place just 8 weeks after the Kenyan won silver at an Olympic marathon in Sao Paulo, staged in hot and humid conditions. Several runners dropped out in Japan, and others who finished were left severely fatigued. But Kosgei believes she is fit enough to be competitive in London this weekend.
I like London, and before I come here, I was running in Olympic on last month, but my body was still very tired, but I went there and do a lot of correction until I become okay. That's why I given London to come and try my best. I know there is a lot of competitors, and everybody want to be on top three, but made the best win on Sunday.
Kosgei's compatriot, Jocelyn Chepkosgei, the former half-marathon world record holder who stepped up to the marathon with immediate effect by winning the 2019 New York race, will also provide a stiff challenge to Kosgei's hat-trick ambitions.
6 weeks ago, I was running a Berlin marathon. That was a test to the marathon. It was part of preparation of this marathon, London Marathon. So I'm ready for Sunday to do my best. Last few weeks, half marathon was a test for me, yeah, for this marathon. So for sub 20, I'm ready for the best, yeah. So I'm going to try my best to do it.
In Rwanda, handball tournaments in the East African country will resume in October after they were suspended due to the increase of COVID-19 cases in Rwanda, which resulted in lockdown of many districts in the country. The first tournament that will be held is the Rwanda Cup and is expected to start on October 23rd to end on October 31st. All games will be played at Kigali and Bugesera Stadium. 19 teams will participate in tournaments in both the men's category and women category. Teams have been urged to start training as long as they follow guidelines that the Ministry of Sports recently outlined. In Gambia, the Gambia Wrestling Association has announced the demise of the country's iconic wrestler, Serigin Nje, who goes by his wrestling sobriquet as Gandhi. Serigin Nje, who was in Keba Jome Wrestling Club, is said to have passed away following a brief illness at Kau in the Central River region. Serigin Maduo Fae, president of the Gambia Wrestling Association, described his death as a great loss to Gambian wrestling. And now to some football news. We begin with women's football. As host of the maiden edition of the Total CAF Women's Champions League, Wadi Degla wants to keep the trophy at home. Reacting to the draw result, which took place at the CAF headquarters in Cairo midweek, head coach Will El-Sayed made it clear that all eight teams have ambitions to win the tournament, but his side is hoping to take the title. The draw, which was led by CAF Director of Competitions Samson Adamu, with the assistance of Nigerian legend Perpetua Nwokocha and the captain of Wadi Degla FC and the national women's team of Egypt, Aliya Zenoki, will have the opening game between host Wadi Degla FC, 12 times Egyptian champions, and AS Mandi, Wafu A qualifiers champions and three-time champions of Mali. CAF Director of Competitions Samson Adamu described this week's draw as a historical moment for women's football on the continent.
This is a very historical moment for us in CAF, and especially even from an organization point of view, to see a continental competition. And now we're here, and CAF is actually the second confederation to have a fully fledged CAF Women's Champions League continentally. So this is great for us. Let us look at the eight teams that qualified to this competition. We have, of course, Wadi Degla, our host, and we have the champions of Kusafa, Mamelodi Sundowns, and Hasaka Ladies, the winners of Wafu B, and the second team from Wafu B, Rivers Angels. And we have from UNAF, the second team, Hasfa Clubs, the champions of UNIFAC, Malabo Kings, and Sekafa, Vihiga Queens, and Wafu A, RS Mende.
Ali Zinoki, who plays for Wadi Degla, explains why the CAF Champions League for Women is important for the development of the women's game on the continent.
And I'm so proud that the first version of the Champions League will be taking place in Egypt. And I'm even more proud that Wadi Degla, my club, is taking place in the tournament. And about who we are most likely to play against, I think all of the teams are good teams. They're the league champions of their nations. And I think let's see what the tournament brings to us.
Away from women's football, in Ghana, with barely 4 weeks to the start of the country's Football Premier League, the Club Licensing Committee of the Ghana Football Association has announced its decision on match venues submitted by the Premier League clubs with respect to the infrastructure criteria for their respective license application processes. The decision was taken based on the reports received from the club licensing manager from the inspection visits across the various venues. The Club Licensing Committee was not satisfied with the reports of all the venues submitted. However, four venues, Wafa Park, Aliu Mahama Stadium, Cape Coast, and the Linkley Stadium, have been granted conditional approval pending the correction or fixing of the defects as stated in the inspection reports by October 18, 2021. Communications Director of the Ghana Football Association, Harry Asante Tuam, explains more.
In terms of club licenses, and I think a lot has been done in the last few weeks. In the coming days, they will submit their report. They will look at all the considerations and hopefully they will start issuing out licenses to the clubs. One of the things we also want to introduce is youth teams. All the teams have been told to either adopt a youth team or form one.
And now to preparations as African teams prepare for the FIFA World Cup qualifiers for Qatar 2022. Newly appointed Harambee Stars coach Engin Firat has decried the time he has with a full squad ahead of the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifier first leg against Mali next week. Coach Firat noted that even though he has started residential training with the locally based players, the foreign based players will only be available days to the match against Mali in Morocco. Ferrat explained that the local based players have been responsive to his style of coaching.
I will try to explain them what I expect from them. They have to adapt to me, the way we will play. And after this in Morocco, then the players who are outside will arrive. We will have only 1-2 training with them then to go on the match. Therefore, we will have not really time to be prepared for the match, but we will find solutions to go out and to play well.
Kenya is currently second on 2 points, 2 behind leaders Mali and equal on points with Uganda. And talking about Uganda, the East African country will face off with Rwanda in the doubleheader next week in the FIFA World Cup Africa qualifying matches. Ahead of that crucial games, Ugandan Grace edged a 12-man Kampala Capital City Authority Football Club 2-1 during the first internal practice match played on Thursday in Lugogo. KCCA assembled starting lineup of 12 players as requested by the Ugandan Cranes head coach Milutin Micho Seredejovic to accord the national team the pressure needed in international matches. Coach Seredejovic says in this second phase, he's preparing the team for competitive match situations.
For what I have to say, immediately after finishing the match against Mali, we have started with preparations in order to have the strongest possible team and to put ourselves in position to put the dreams of Ugandans into reality.
And elsewhere in the northern part of the continent, a second-half double from striker Mohamed Sherif handed Egypt a 2-0 win over Liberia on Thursday in coach Carlos Queiroz's debut as the man at the helm of the Egyptian national football team. The Portuguese tactician tested his local-based players ahead of the Libya's doubleheader in the World Cup qualifiers with a friendly against Liberia at the Borg Arab Stadium. The Pharaohs produced a tame display in the first half, with Queiroz's men dominating possession in the opening half but failing to create any real threats. It's back to you, Prince.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Association of National Olympic Committee of Africa, ANOCA, marked its 40th anniversary earlier this week in Abuja, Nigeria. The body was founded on June 28, 1981 in Lome, Togo, and was created as an African Olympic movement to coordinate an integrated process for promotion of sporting progress. It has 54 member states. A top official of ANOCA say the actual anniversary date could not be celebrated because of complications caused by the COVID-19 pandemic that compelled the postponement of the Japan 2020 Olympic Games. Mustafa Biraf is the president of the organization, and he spoke to reporter Mike Mbonyi about the 40th anniversary.
First of all, I would like to talk about the 40 years celebration of the National Olympic Committee of Africa. From 1981, we were 33, and now today we passed to 54. This has been thanks to the hard work of all the Olympic members, national members of Africa. Also, we target the organization to organize many international tournaments worldwide. We participated to all the events, Olympic Games, African Games, Youth Games, so Commonwealth Games, also through the para sports also we were there. Our vision also is to structure the Olympic Africa to allow the youth and the young athletes to get a good training, to get a good and help through the ANOCA.
What form of assistance did the Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa give to member NOCs for the Tokyo Games? Do you have plans for more programs or assistance ahead of the Paris 2024 Olympic Games?
Now we're going to talk about the Olympic Games in Tokyo. Our strategy has reached the objective, and also our objective is the next Olympic Games in Paris in 2024. So we prepared the Olympic Games in Tokyo with all what we have, the grants for all the African athletes to be able to train in a good manner. Also, we allowed the whole members of the ANOCA to have a cover for the COVID. we allow them to have the vaccination and all what's needed to be protected. We have proved that our evolution on the management sports has been very positive in every side of the ANOCA, putting all the means and to the athletes and also to the National Olympic Committee. The barrier from COVID has really not been a problem for us to participate to Tokyo, and it won't be also for Paris.
What's your assessment of Team Africa's outing at the Tokyo Olympic Games?
Now for the Tokyo evolution of the African Games, we can say that our participation in every sectors of the sports and all the discipline worldwide has demonstrated that Africa can take part positively with good success in everything, athletism and all the other things. Now we are very proud of our athletes who been marking their names in all the results. We are proud of the Olympism in Africa. We are proud of the sports in Africa. Thank you.
That was Mustafa Biraf, President of Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa. He was speaking with reporter Mike Mbonyi on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Prince Nessa, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I spoke with Kenyan sports journalist Mohamed Abubakar about some of the African players to watch out for in European football this season.
Who are some of these African players that you think people in the African continent should watch out for, or even the whole world should watch out for these African players who could make a difference in the Champions League this season?
I have to say, Mohamed Salah, goodness, this guy is not spoken about enough. He's a fantastic player with a very, very good record in the Champions League. He's scored 32 goals so far in the Champions League. I mean, he's up there with the likes of, you know, the greats who have played in the Champions League, the Benzemas, the Kakas, all these players, because let's remember, he's not a striker. He's not an out-and-out striker. He's a winger. So for him to be able to score these goals, he's one of the players that we are going to be making the difference for Liverpool. Let me not forget Sadio Mane as well, who scored a couple against Porto. He seems to love playing against Porto. He scores a lot of goals against them. But Sadio Mane would be another player. Not many people mention goalkeepers, but I'd like to mention Edouard Mendy for Chelsea. This guy is a really, really, really good goalkeeper. And he, most of the times, he keeps Chelsea in the game. I feel with him continuing to give good performances, he can be the difference. And he was the difference last season for Chelsea in their Champions League run. So Edouard Mendy would be one to look out for. PSG midfielder, holding midfielder, Igana Gueye as well from Senegal. He's a good player to watch out for. He's in the good books of Mauricio Pochettino. I mean, he's been starting the games for him and he's been having an eye for goal. I mean, that goal he scored was a brilliant one. Not many people would stash that ball on the far top corner the way he did under pressure. So, I mean, I know there are many, many players to mention, but I feel those ones would be ones to look out for this season, this campaign.
Any other thoughts?
Well, Nesta, as you know, I'm an Arsenal fan, first of all. So you can imagine how my weekdays are really, really boring these days. But I have to say, we need to appreciate the Champions League, Nesta. I mean, as we all remember back in April, I think April or May, there was this talk of the European Super League and all that. What we've witnessed this week is a good example of what football offers to players, to fans. I mean, having a club from Moldova turn up in Madrid at the Santiago Bernabeu and beat 13-time champions Real Madrid. This is what football is about, Nesta. I mean, everyone was talking about this. These are the stories of football. Having teams that can dream to play at the highest level, and rightly so, they deserve it because they're champions of the Moldovan League. I mean, we really, really have to appreciate what the Champions League offers to football. It's one of the greatest club competitions. So I'd like to say that as an Arsenal fan as well, hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll be able to come back to Europe and participate in such a competition. Let's gear up for a very, very interesting Champions League season. You know, the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi still playing in Europe. This is something really, really good, and we should try and enjoy it before they call time on their footballing career as well.
There was the Kenyan sports journalist Mohamed Aboubakar expressing his thoughts on which African players to watch out for in European football this season. Harry Kane came off the bench to register a hat-trick as Tottenham cruised to the team's first Europa League win against Slovenian side NS Mura 5-1. English football of Nigerian descent Dele Alli and Giovanni Lo Celso are the other names in the score sheet, helping is the pressure on Nuno Espirito Santo, the club's under fire manager. Santo seemed to be delighted with the team's performance.
I think it was a good performance. I think we started very well. Honestly, we started the game very strong. The energy of the boys was important, and it's always important to start the way we did it. We score again, we dominate. The only period, I think, is the beginning of the second half that we lost a little bit of control, but the reaction was good to their goal, and overall, I think a very good performance.
Declan Rice and Algerian footballer Saïd Berhanma were on the score sheet to help West Ham United secure their second victory in the Europa League by beating Rapid Vienna 2-0. While Leicester City was humbled 1-0 away at Legia Warsaw. The Foxes' coach Brendan Rodgers reflects on the defeat.
Obviously disappointed with the result. We had created enough chances to get something from the game. We just got punished for not being aggressive enough in our defending for the goal, and then second half we dominated the game. Yeah, we gave away a couple of counter attacks late on, but we were creative, and the keeper makes a good save from the corner, and we get into some really good areas, but just couldn't quite finish. So it ends up a disappointing result for us.
Moving on to the English Premier League, Arsenal travels to the Emirates Stadium to face Brighton this weekend in the Premier League. Both teams have been in impressive form, with the Gunners securing wins in their last three games, while Brighton just missed topping the English Premier League with a 1-1 draw against Crystal Palace. Here's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta on working under pressure.
I think that feeling is very necessary at a big club. Because every defeat is a crisis, and it should be a crisis. And you have to deal with that pressure. And if you want to be the best, you should be able to cope with that. And you have to realize that the excellence is the only way and the only thing that is expected, and anything else is not good enough. Well, obviously, it's a special match, winning in front of your fans, and as you said, the way we did it in a convincing way and getting the result that you wanted. Enjoyed for a little while, and now put that game aside, and all our focus should be now on Brighton. We have experienced that a beautiful day with our people, and we want another one after Brighton, and we have to end that, and the best way to do it is just focus on that game, because there were things that we should improve as well from the Spurs game.
And the mouth-watering clashes, peak champions Manchester City against Liverpool. Manchester United hosts Everton. Chelsea entertains Southampton. While Tottenham takes on Aston Villa, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And that wraps up the October 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's been a pleasure for me hosting the show, but Sunny's gonna be taking the hot seat on Monday. Welcome back, Sunny. Then before I go, I have to thank my editor, Kate Dawson, Voice of America producer, Mobilia Barrow, and most importantly, thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta, and I hope you have yourselves a lovely weekend. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.